Will the House please come to order? Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson.
Here.
Bagby.
Here.
Barbuto.
Here.
Berger.
Here.
Blake. Blickrey.
Here.
Bonner.
Here.
Brechtel.
Here.
Brown.
Here.
Buchanan.
Here.
Byrd.
Here.
Kennedy.
Here.
Carson. Carson. Childers. Childers.
Here.
Cohey. Connolly, Kraft, Davison, Davison, Dirks, Edmonds, Esquivel, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan excused, Hammonds, Harshman, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen, Kimball, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller, Millen, Moniz, Moniz, Patton, Peasley, Pedersen, Peterson, Philp excused, Korberg, Roscoe, Simlick, Shepperson, Stewart,
here.
Stubson,
here.
Teeters,
here.
Thompson,
here.
Throne,
here.
Wallace,
here.
Zwanitzer Dan,
here.
Zwanitzer Dave,
here.
Mr. Speaker,
here.
Blake,
here.
Carson,
here.
Harshman, Illaway,
here.
Harshman. Harshman.
Here.
58 present, 2 excused.
The prayer today is again by Chaplain Del Hansen, representing Veterans Medical Center of Cheyenne. Chaplain Hansen.
Let us pray. Heavenly God, our endurance is weakening, for these legislators have been working hard this week for the best interest of our state. Yet there is much work to be done, especially today, as the budget process continues. Strengthen these legislators with your presence and the wisdom like you provided King Solomon. Allow that these legislators would strive for excellence in all of their endeavors. May they work and strive to serve for the good of our state, its people, and ultimately your heavenly kingdom. Allow these legislators to reexamine the ability to maintain our state and its growth for now and for the future generations who will call Wyoming home. Lord, as we go about the business of planning the spending of our state, may the best use be sought and the resources applied for our state's interest. Remind us of Ralph Waldo Emerson's words, which say, "You cannot do a kindness too soon, for you never know how soon it will be too late." Allow that these legislators would act expediently to achieve the needed work with compassion. Each of us have hopes and dreams which represent our vision of the future. May these visions be united and fulfilled to serve our communities, our state, and our nation. Lord, we continue to seek your protection on all of those who have served and those who continue to serve as defenders and protectors of this nation and our great state and our communities. Amen.
Join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I just need to replace real quick while you read.
Will the House please come back to order? Thank you. Journal Committee Report.
Mr. Speaker, your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 25, 2010 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Barbuto, Representative Moniz.
Messages from the Senate.
Message 171. Mr. Speaker, the Senate adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the bills listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill 10, Electrical Safety Low Voltage Licensing. Aye 6, noes 24. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
The doctor of the day is Dr. John Dr. Haley, if I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that correctly, from UW Family Medicine in Cheyenne. And the nurse of the day is Celine Barber from Cheyenne Regional Medical Center. Thank you. Yeah, that's fine. Chairman Semlich, you may have privilege of the floor.
Mr. Speaker, is this appropriate time to re-refer bills?
Yes, please.
Mr. Speaker, I would ask that we re-refer Senate File 7 and Senate File 13 to Committee Number 2 as they have an appropriation.
Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Representative Shepperson, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen in the South Gallery, we have a group of people with us today, a group of well-informed, highly skilled, highly motivated, yes, I'm lying, young people. It is Lead Class 11 with their director, Cindy Gerritsen-Weibel. Would you all please welcome them?
Well, stand up, folks, so we can see who you are. All right. Looks like there's some rough characters in the crowd. I see a few from Park County.
And but, Mr. Chairman,
yes,
I have one more little side note. A few of you know this, but I would also like to make a special introduction to my baby sister, Amy, who is up there. She is the 2000 College National Champion Breakaway Roper, and she is the reason I get to come down here and go on vacation all the time because she stays at home and works really hard.
Welcome to the house, Amy. Welcome, all of you, to the House of Representatives. We are at that order of business of reading and signing of enrolled acts. Well, the reading clerk will read the enrolled act.
House Enrolled Act Number 2 being original House Bill Number 2, an act relating to veterinarians, being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Oh, yes, sorry. I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 2. Being original House Bill Number 2. I have so signed.
House Enrolled Act Number 3 being original House Bill Number 7, an act relating to elections being enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
I'm about to sign House Enrolled Act Number 3 being original House Bill 7. I have so signed. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 53 engrossed, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Begbie, Barbuto, Blickery, Kennedy, Gingrey, Patton, Peasley, Korberg, Throne, signed Representative Gingrey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 1, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 54, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Begbie, Barbuto, Blickery, Kennedy, Gingrey, Patton, Peasley, Korberg, Throne, signed Representative Gingrey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 42, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Hammonds, Jorgensen, Pedersen, Stewart, absent, Harshman, excused, Philp, signed Representative Berger, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred Senate File 48 engrossed, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Bonner, Davison, Escobel, Harvey, Landon, Millen, Shepperson. No, Kimball. Excused, Hallinan. Signed, Representative Landon, Chairman.
Any other re-referrals, Chairman Landon?
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to re-refer Senate File 48, Engross, Licensure of Midwives, to Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We're at that order of business, a request to concur with Senate amendments to House bills. The first message for our consideration is message number 166 on House Bill 4. Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move that we concur with message number 166 and would ask for your aye vote. Essentially what they did, just simply on the other side, they don't seem to like the word such, and so they put in the word any. And we didn't have any concern with that.
Excuse me, is there anyone else who would like to speak on message 166? We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 4. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Aye. Bagby. Aye. Barbuto. Aye. Berger. Aye. Blake. Aye. Blickrey. Aye. Bonner. Aye. Brechtel. Aye. Brown. Aye. Buchanan. Aye. Byrd. Aye. Kennedy. Aye. Carson. Aye. Childers. Aye. Cohey. Aye. Connolly. Aye. Kraft. Davison, Dirks, Edmonds, Esquivel, Gilmore, Gingrey, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan excused, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen, Kimball, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller, Millen, Moniz, Patton, Peasley, Pedersen, Peterson, Philp excused, Korberg, Roscoe, Simlick, Shepperson, Stewart, Stebson, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker, Throne. I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed, 58 ayes, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 4. Ladies and gentlemen, before we move on, again, a reminder, the green sheets that you have, mine is 9:52 a.m. in the top left. These are the listed third reading amendments to the budget today. If you have an amendment and you don't see it on the list, please go into the LSO office and check. And we will advise you if there is a revised list. The next message for our consideration is message number 168 on House Bill 12. Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move concurrence on message number 168 in regards to House Bill 12 and would ask for your aye vote. What they changed was some minor things, put in the word uniform assessment, to make it clear that it needed to be uniform. There were some singular versus plural issues in the language, and that was about their changes. So if you have no questions, I'd urge you to vote aye on the concurrence.
Anyone else on message number 168? We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 12. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbuto. Berger, Blake, Blickrey, Bonner, Brechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Byrd, Kennedy, Carson, Childers, Cohey, Connolly, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Edmonds, Esquivel, Gilmore, Gingrey, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan, excused. Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman. Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Kimball.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson.
Aye.
Philp, excused. Korberg.
No.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Semlick.
Aye.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Teeters.
Aye.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 1 no, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 12. The next message for our consideration is message number 169 on House Bill 13. Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move concurrence on message number 169 in relationship to House Bill 13. What they did, this was an amendment I actually added on this side. They took it off, and after talking with them, the amendment wasn't needed. It's actually covered in another part of the law, so it was just superfluous, and so it was okay to take that off. I would urge you to vote aye.
Anyone else on message 169? We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 13. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blickrey. Bonner, Brechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Byrd, Kennedy, Carson, Childers, Cohey, Connolly, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Edmonds, Esquivel, Gilmore, Gingrey, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan, excused, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen, Kimball, Landon, Lockhart, Lubno, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller, Millen, Moniz, Patton, Peasley, Pedersen, Peterson, Philp, excused, Korberg, Roscoe, Semlick, Shepperson, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 1 no, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 13. The next message for our consideration is message number 170 on House Bill 16. Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the Senate, as those of you, a little explanation. This is the bill that talks about the private school licensing exemption. And when we passed the bill to shut Wyoming's diploma mills down. Why we were shutting down some inadvertently shut down a school that had been in operation for some 40 years in Wyoming and doing a good job. And so this was an attempt to find a way to exempt them. The bill passed here very well. Went to the Senate. They expressed some concerns about loosening this diploma mill and up a little bit. So they crafted some language to tighten it back down somewhat, met with everybody's approval. I went over the bill, went over this with the bill's sponsor, and he said he didn't think it damaged, hurt what he was trying to accomplish. And so I would ask you to concur.
Anyone else on message 170? We are voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 16. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson. Bagby,
aye.
Barbudo,
aye.
Berger,
aye.
Blake,
aye.
Blickrey,
aye.
Bonner,
aye.
Brechtel,
no.
Brown,
aye.
Buchanan,
aye.
Byrd,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Carson,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
Cohey,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Edmonds, Esquivel, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan, excused, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey, Illaway, Yagi, Jorgensen, Kimball, Landon, Lockhart, Lubnow, Madden, McKim, McComey, Miller, Millen, Moniz, Patton, Peasley, Pedersen, Peterson, Philp, excused, Korberg, Roscoe, Simlick, Shepperson, Stewart, Stubson, Teeters, Thompson, Throne, Wallace, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker. I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? Patton, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Dirks, aye to no. Are there further changes? The vote is closed, 54 aye, 4 no, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 16. Chairman McComey, were you just up there for second reading? Re-referrals?
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to re-refer Senate file 39 engrossed to appropriations, your committee number 2. It has appropriation.
Hearing no objection, it's ordered. We're at that order of business. The bill's on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 3.
Senate File 3, introduced by the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to apiaries.
Senate File 3, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 4.
Senate File 4, introduced by the Corporation Committee. An act relating to special district elections.
Senate File 4, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 5.
Senate File 5, introduced by the Corporation Committee, an act relating to special districts and other specified public entities and records.
Senate File 5, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 8.
Senate File 8, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to medical support of children.
Senate File 8, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 9.
Senate File 9, introduced by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to juvenile detention facilities.
Senate File 9, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 10.
Senate File 10, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to state lands, Bear River State Park.
Senate File 10, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 11.
Senate File 11, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to state parks and cultural resources regarding acquisition and disposition of lands.
Senate File 11, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 12.
Senate File 12, introduced by the Travel Committee, an act relating to state parks, historic sites, boundaries, and designations.
Senate File 12, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 16.
Senate File 16, introduced by the Revenue Committee, an act relating to taxation and revenue, property tax review of assessment.
Senate File 16, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 19.
Senate File 19, introduced by Senator Ross, an act relating to driving under the influence.
Senate File 19, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 26.
Senate File 26, introduced by Senator Case, an act relating to crimes and offenses regarding eligibility, concealed weapons permit.
Senate File 26, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 28.
Senate File 28, introduced by Senator Martin, an act relating to intergovernmental cooperation, state loan and investment board loan refinancing.
Senate File 28, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 43.
Senate File 43, introduced by Senator Meyer, an act relating to game and fish special hunting license extension.
Senate File 43, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 47.
Senate File 47, introduced by Senator Schiffer, an act relating to paramutual wagering, simulcasting.
Senate File 47, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 51.
Senate File 51, introduced by Senator Anderson, an act relating to state symbols, state official state code.
Senate File 51, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 63.
Senate File 63, introduced by Senator Meyer, an act relating to irrigation district assessments.
Senate File 63, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. The last bill for our consideration is Senate File 72.
Senate File 72, introduced by the Appropriation Committee, an act relating to Wyoming Retirement System.
Senate File 72, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. We're at that order of business, so bills on third reading. Budget Bill, House Bill 1.
House Bill 1, introduced by the Appropriation Committee, an act to make appropriations for the biennium commencing July 1st, 2010 and ending June 30th, 2012. Being adopted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Chairman Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 33 to House Bill 1. First out of the chute, ladies and gentlemen, I passed out a sheet that's entitled Wyoming Telepsychiatry Project at the top, and that probably best explains this proposal. Have you gotten that on your desk? Okay.
Yes.
I'm getting some curious looks. It should be in the pile somewhere. Is this not loud enough? Okay. Thank you. For the first time since I've been down here, I see a group forming and an initiative to really get this telepsychiatry moving. And so I think we have the ability here to take a big step forward and get this system established and have this ability for the citizens in the state of Wyoming. And I just want to use an example from the state of Montana. This system is already in place in that state, and what it is comprised of is there are several towns, and one of them is Billings, Montana, that a hospital there is linked up with hospitals across the entire eastern part of the state of Montana. And when somebody comes into one of those hospitals in the eastern part of Montana and really needs to be evaluated by a psychiatrist, they can link up through their telepsychiatry network with Billings, where the psychiatrists live, and deliver the services and get the evaluation they need. And that's what we're proposing here. This group has already done beta test, and they have found what their needs are in the way of hardware and software. The beta test was for the most part successful, but not entirely, and that was instructive to him in ways that they could get better communications between the hospitals. That particular test involved the hospital in this town, a hospital in the center of the state, and a hospital in the northern part of the state. So you can see that part of what is hoped to do here is really address a lot of the problems that the local communities have with Title 25 individuals and how expensive that is. It's looked like one of the opportunities to lower the cost there. So that basically is what the amendment is about. And I just stand for any questions if there are any questions.
Chairman Childers.
Well, Mr. Speaker, a couple of questions I have is, this $685,000, I know it's a pilot project, but would that be the investment to set it up to run it? If not, how much would that be? And then the other thing, what is the annual operating cost for a project like this? Should we go beyond the pilot? Because I think, especially during a budget, we need to know all those things.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I rise in strong support of this amendment. Being co-chair of the Select Committee on Mental Health and Substance Abuse, we've dealt with this issue quite a lot. We just don't have enough psychiatrists in this state. And actually, this will end up saving the state considerable sums, because what we do right now is we transport people. We move them around the state to get them to a location where a psychiatrist is present. This would allow for them to do it through this video, which works so much better, especially when someone, all they need is maybe a 20-minute discussion with the psychiatrist to get their meds re-upped. And instead of transporting them all the way across the state for that, they can do this through video. This would be a considerable cost savings to the state, and I would encourage you to vote aye.
Representative Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. For the concept here to get people the care that they need, but you know, this sounds something like the video conferencing we've had set up for years in the state. We've spent a lot of money on getting people upgraded to have great high bandwidth computer connectivity. I'm just wondering why they can't already do this with all the money we've already spent on features like this. I think it's a great idea. We should do it in a lot more areas than even just this one. But why can't we do this already?
Anyone else for their first time? Your second time, Chairman Childers?
Well, Mr. Speaker, Representative, what does it actually cost the state to transport the people for this now? Don't they pay for it themselves? But anyway, you could answer those questions.
I'm sorry, Representative Patton, I called for anyone else for their first time, and that was Chairman Childers' second time. Representative Patton, I'm going to have to stick with the rules, sir.
You're kind of like my mother. You don't know what to do with me.
I saw you walking back there, but it didn't look like you wanted to speak, so I went to the second round. Anyone else for their second time? Chairman Landon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm not sure about the one of the questions was, is how much does it cost for people to transport themselves? I'm not sure as to being able to compare that cost. I do know that a number of these Title 25 individuals are unable to transport themselves, and in fact, that's one of the problems right now. Is a person will be brought into an emergency room in a hospital that's having a psychiatric episode, and quite frankly, the emergency room doctor will look at that individual and they'll just go, you know, give me a trauma case, because I'm really not sure what to prescribe and how to deal with this individual. And so this is actually going to make it much more efficient, I believe, for that for him then to link up and get the correct diagnosis and the correct care and get that individual back stabilized as rapidly as possible. Concerning the question of whether or not there is equipment in place, there's a lot of equipment in place. A lot of the hospitals have this in place. One of the main problems is trying to get the various components to communicate with one another. And one of the things that you'll see in here is this residency and preference requirement. There are Wyoming companies, most of them just over the hill to the west of us, that are going to be participating in this, both hardware and software-wise, to get those last final links to put together to where this system will work. And so, like I said just in introduction, of all the things I've seen, this has the most promise of really delivering what we've been hoping for in this area. So I would just urge your approval, and let's give this a chance to really help the people of Wyoming.
We are voting on third reading amendment number 33 to House Bill 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Chair is in doubt. All those in favor, please stand. The amendment is passed. Will the Assistant Chief Clerk please call the roll? Excuse me, this is not an increase. This is a redirection. Is that right? No, it is an increase. Page 5, line 8. Will Assistant Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson.
No.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Blickery. Bonner,
no.
Brechtel,
no.
Brown,
aye.
Buchanan,
no.
Bird,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Carson,
aye.
Childers,
no.
Cohey,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
no.
Dirks,
aye.
Edmonds. Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingrey,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales, Hallinan excused, Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Kimball,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lubnow,
aye.
Madden,
no.
McKim, McComey,
no.
Miller,
no.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Philp excused, Korberg,
no.
Roscoe,
aye.
Semlick,
no.
Shepperson,
no.
Stewart,
no.
Stubson, pardon me? Stubson?
No.
Thank you. Teeters?
No.
Thompson?
Aye.
Throne?
No.
Wallace?
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dan?
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave?
No.
Mr. Speaker?
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Lockhart? Aye to no. Any additional changes? The vote is closed, 34 aye, 24 no, 2 excused.
Third reading amendment number 33 is passed. Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 1. Third reading amendment number 2 is to restore $10,000 to the Secretary of State's budget for the purpose of printing hard copies of the Constitution. It was the state constitution. It was brought to my attention by a former member of this body who distributes these hard copies to the newly citizens of the United States in their swearing-in ceremony. Along with the state flag, the state pen, they are usually given a hard copy of the Constitution. This former member of this body pointed out to me that it is no longer in print. And it has been taken out of the budget. We also distribute this amongst the grade school kids. I believe that it is really important if we're going to start teaching our children the value of the state constitution and the newly sworn-in citizens of this country to restore this and put this back in the budget. And at this point, I stand for questions.
Anyone else? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The only thing I'd like the body to know is that it is available online, and it's also in every state library. So just consider that.
Anyone else for their first time? Representative Wallace, excuse me.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would rise in support of this amendment. It's not a lot of dollars, and it is school kids, brand-new citizens, any interested citizen who wants to carry with them the foundational document of this state, which is one of the most marvelous expressions of our form of government that exists in the world. I think this is a small price to pay for a very good cause.
Chairman Berger,
Mr. Speaker, thank you. The reason that the $100,000 was cut out of the Secretary of State's budget was because of part of the 10% cut that took place during the interim. So, vote your pleasure.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This is $10,000. I think that's what it said, $10,000. It's for 2,000 copies. You know, every once in a while you make a cut and you find out that maybe you shouldn't have. And this is one of those places that I think is penny wise and pound foolish. Let's go ahead, approve it, and get it done.
Anyone else for their first time? Or second time? Representative Byrd, do you want a second time, please?
No, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we're ready to vote.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Third reading amendment number 2 is passed. Next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment. Oh, excuse me. Well, yes, one of the chief clerks call the roll.
There's one chief clerk and one assistant.
Yeah.
Anderson. Anderson. Bagby.
Aye.
Barbuto.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Flickrey.
Aye.
Bonner.
Aye.
Brechtel.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Buchanan.
No.
Byrd.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Carson.
Aye.
Childers.
Aye.
Cohey.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Kraft.
Aye.
Davison.
Aye.
Dirks.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Esquivel.
Aye.
Gilmore.
Aye.
Gingery. Goggles.
Aye.
Hales. Helen Ann excused. Hammonds.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Illaway.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jorgensen.
Aye.
Kimball.
Aye.
Landon.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Lubno.
Aye.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
McComey.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Millen.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Patton.
Aye.
Peasley.
Aye.
Pedersen.
Aye.
Peterson. Philp excused. Korberg.
No.
Roscoe.
Aye.
Simlick.
No.
Shepperson.
Aye.
Stewart.
No.
Stubson.
No.
Teeters.
No.
Thompson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Wallace.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dan.
No.
Swanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Lubno, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 46 ayes, 12 no, 2 excused.
Third reading amendment number 2 is passed. Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 21 to House Bill number 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. In that long day on Tuesday, we voted to add a footnote that has caused some folks that I represent consternation, and so I just wanted to bring it back up. Essentially, we added a footnote that requires the Division of Audit and Information to mandate that public employees at least maintain a $500 deductible, which it's my understanding some of them do now. But there are public employees who've elected to pay extra for their health insurance to maintain a $350 deductible. And with little discussion and with little consideration of the impact and no quantification of the savings, we inserted this footnote and took the option away. I'm not saying that I would forever be opposed to this, but I think perhaps it requires more deliberation than we had a chance to do on Tuesday. And for that reason, I am moving to withdraw that second reading amendment. Thank you.
Representative Jorgensen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to this issue because we spent a lot of time with the issue. We do understand the implications of something like this in appropriations, but we also observe what's going on around us. Anyone in a private business knows what insurance, what employers are doing with their insurance programs, and the state is not insulated from that reality. This is not egregious. Folks I talk to who are on the individual insurance market search, they talk about $5,000 deductibles. I mean, this is a show that's not a good show, but this is reality, and I urge you to resist this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Okay, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, an announcement. After item 5 on your green sheet, there will be another amendment, House third reading amendment number 34, and that is Representative Semlich. So we may not have time to get out a revised list. So after number 5, House third reading number 13, insert House third reading number 34. For your first time, Chairman Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The current state plan, the lowest deductible that you can choose is $350, and it's like all plans, you pay a higher premium, and you can choose a $750, a $1,500, and a $2,500 deductible in the state plan. The way the plan is set up, though, and if you look at premium costs and, say, you use just the exact amount of the deductible, there's not much of a savings difference unless you just kind of, you're a person that just doesn't use health care. So this hasn't been raised in over 11 years. I spoke with the administrator of the state plan and asked, and this is something he would like to do, and asked what would the savings be to that, about 1.5%, and that would be about $2.5 million on the state side of that. So, you know, it's just it's your call on, you know, on the deal. Whether they could probably still do this without our directing them to do it, but because it is going up, the big state plan's going up for out for bid again, the administration of the plan. But I just think this is part of the thing where we grew up as kids, health care was just almost free. I mean, we went to the doctor and it cost you just a few bucks, and it just, but a $350 deductible now is like one visit and one medication. And so generally, those folks who choose the lower deductible use more insurance and are therefore subsidized by those who don't use it as much. That's fine. That's part of the big plan. But I just think $350 is something of the past, just like when we raised it 11 years ago from $200 to $350. And so I'd urge you to defeat this amendment. I think $500 is still an unbelievably low deductible, and so I'd ask for your defeated amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the Department of Administration and Information, under which this plan falls under that umbrella, has the authority right now to make these deductibles whatever they want to be. They were, at one time, they were $100. And then they went up to $200, and then they went to $250, and now they're $350. And when they hit the $350 is when they started putting in the $750 and the $1,500. And then they added the $2,500 for those employees that felt that I'm healthy and I don't really need to pay that much. The administration of that plan lies under the purview of the governor and ANI. We took it away from a group insurance plan and put it under the state. There was an independent committee, and I served on that committee. So while I don't oppose the idea of 500, I don't know, as we as a body should say, do 500, do we raise then the others up to? If they're coming out for bid, maybe they should do that. I think I'm on the Fourth Amendment.
Chairman Landon.
Mr. Chairman, I think part of it boils down to a philosophy of what is health insurance for. And if it's for paying for all of your health care, I can assure you it is extremely expensive because you have this third party paying for it. And so this is an attempt to get some control and some thought and some market-driven savings and innovation back into the system that we don't, because of the way we've structured the insurance in it, has skewed the market so badly. And we really think that in the long run that this type of higher deductible for everyone still enables people to get the health care they need and keeps the insurance for what it really should be, and that is to prevent you from losing your house if you have a really high-cost medical event. So on and against the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would just like to, I think the good chairman of education made the most relevant points. Sitting here today, we are not in command of all the facts to make this decision. Does this mean the family deductible goes up too? Speaking as someone who's on the covered by the family plan of the state group policy, I think it's precipitous and premature, and we just aren't in command of all the information to make this kind of mandate on a budget amendment. Thank you.
Thank you. We're voting on third reading amendment number 21 to House Bill 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
This third reading amendment number 21 has failed. Representative Throne.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think I'm on more solid ground with this one since the sponsor of the second reading amendment, I believe, supports me. Mr. Speaker, the purpose of this amendment is simply to restore a footnote number 4 in the budget bill related to victim services. Last year we passed a bill, and I was the prime sponsor, mandating unduplicated counts by victim services in domestic violence cases, and their providers is funded by federal funds. This footnote, the primary purpose of it, as I understand it, is to provide an interpretation to a certain extent of what we did last year, because we are currently having issues with the federal government as to whether what we did last year violates federal law. So this is to allow our federal funding to continue while we resolve the concerns with the federal provider. And I will stand for any questions.
Jim McGingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would urge you to vote aye on this amendment. I brought the original one on second reading, and then last night I spent a considerable amount of time talking with the Attorney General, and then again we met this morning at 7 and talked about this further. I still have great concerns about how this is being done, but after discussions with the Attorney General, there seemed to be no other option than to have this in the budget. Otherwise, we're going to have some problems. But hopefully someone will bring a bill next year that will clarify this problem and get this resolved. But for now, for this year, it's sort of needed to have that footnote. So I would urge you to vote aye and put the footnote back in.
Anyone else for their first time? Or second time? We are voting on third reading amendment number 13 to House Bill 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
As opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 13 is passed. Excuse me, Representative Peasley, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor. As all of you know, I have been waiting for 2 years for somebody to visit me from my district. And finally it has happened. Two busloads of students and teachers and paraprofessionals have shown up. I have gone up and talked to all of them, and after talking to them, I realized that all these schools are in different districts than mine. We chopped up Converse, Niobrara, and Platte County so much, but we have students and teachers, and I'll just name the teachers, Mrs. Kilpatrick, Cole, Holler, Clifton, Dorn, Pollock, and Tillard, and paraprofessionals, Hopper, Blankenship, and I can't read it, and Pellets, and a whole bunch of students in the South Gallery and the West Gallery. All of you, welcome to the People's House. Thank you.
Welcome to the House of Representatives.
And so, Mr. Speaker, I still haven't had anybody from my district here.
I won't take the bait there. Chairman Semlich. Chairman Semlich. Yes, please, proceed with your Amendment 34.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 34 to House Bill 1. The need for the consideration of this amendment has come out of a very recent Supreme Court decision as of just last Monday, where there was an action or appeal that was denied by the U.S. Supreme Court, which overturned an action to try to get the Clean Water Act and the Fungicide, Insecticide, and Rodenticide Act together, and under that merger, they could then just offer a general permit that would affect the National Pollution Discharge Elimination System. What the result of this is that the pesticides application that will be on or near water will now require a NPDES general permit, and that will begin as of April 19, 2011. And the state of Wyoming has designated that the Department of Environmental Quality will serve as the agency that will issue such permits within Wyoming, with the exception of the land set aside for reservations. So, with this action from the Supreme Court, now it's going to be required that these permits are going to be required after 2011 if you apply pesticides on the water, like for West Nile control for mosquitoes, if you apply pesticides over the water, or if you apply pesticides near the water. So it's any type of application around water is going to require these permits. So what this amendment would do would just provide that authority for the Department of Environmental Quality to be able to begin writing rules to develop these permits so that we can continue in Wyoming to work on the problems of, for human health and agriculture with regard to being able to get these permits. So the amendment says that you can read the amendment. It just will allow the DEQ to begin the process of reviewing the rules that's going to be necessary to get these permits for these people so we continue this application of pesticides on water.
Anyone else for their first time? Second time question being called. All those in favor of third reading amendment number 34, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 34 is passed. There is a revised list out, ladies and gentlemen. It probably just incorporates third reading amendment number 34, and I'm not aware of any other amendments that have been added to the list. Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I move third reading amendment number 10 and urge your favorable consideration. I railed a little bit about this the other day and then decided instead of railing, I ought to do something about it. The Department of Transportation budget is not fully presented to anybody. And the problem that first arises, if we're going to do it, is to whom? And the Appropriations Committee would just be overwhelmed. It's an unreasonable task. But I draw a parallel to Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources Committee, where we have, through the good graces of our chairman and the good graces of a great director of the department, We have instituted a process where we do review game and fish budget on a on an annual basis. And we did have some interesting maneuvering when that started. And one of the suggestions was, well, we'll have what they call a bifurcated budget. And in a bifurcated budget, we'll take our fee income and the species that we hunt and fish, and we'll have that in kind of an offline budget over here that you needn't be concerned with. And then we'll have the general fund budget, and we'll disclose that to you with the money that comes from the general fund and the other of the 800 species that that's related to. And our good chairman and the director of the department, I think, was right with them. They all said, no, that isn't the way it's going to happen. So we get a look at that entire budget, and I must say it's very well done. I think it's been a great benefit to the committee in terms of education. It's been a great benefit to the department, and it really has increased the transparency in government. So I take that exact model over to the Department of Transportation and submit to you that the same thing ought to be going on there. They have a sort of a bifurcated situation right now, and they have all the federal money and all the things that go with it, and that's sort of offline, and they kind of tell us what they want us to know about it, but we never really get a look at it. And then our general fund money that goes in there, we do get to scrutinize. And I just think when I look at the other model and I think about this, I just object to that. I think in terms of transparency in government, full disclosure, and an opportunity for this legislature to understand discretionary decisions that may be made a couple, three layers down in the bureaucracy. A lot of discretion is being exercised there with respect to federal dollars and what can be done. And I think we have a right to see it and a right to understand it. So this does no more than say to the department, make a presentation to the Revenue Committee. I wouldn't heap that on JAC, but make a presentation to the Revenue Committee that is, Transportation Committee, that is commensurate with what Game and Fish has done with travel, recreation, and wildlife. There is an amendment coming in a minute. They're really having a lot of heartburn over the last sentence in here that's because the feds run on a different fiscal year, and they could do it, but they say, well, we'll have to do estimates. We'll have to do a lot of things to adjust to the state budget, and I've heard that before. So there's an amendment coming from the chairman of the Transportation Committee that would strip that last sentence off, and I'm okay with that. Even with it stripped off, at least there's going to be a presentation to the Transportation Committee that's a soup-to-nuts deal. And I think that we're entitled to that, and we should have some members of our legislature who are specialized in that area fully understanding what's going on. So I would urge your support for this amendment and for the amendment that's coming in a minute, which would strip the last sentence off the amendment.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I just want to first express my appreciation for the generosity of moving this data to another committee, and I empathize with them. But we really did have this discussion in JAC this winter about having a better look at the commission side of Department of Transportation. You know, ladies and gentlemen, they do receive over $550 million in federal funds, and so that's the major area of their funding, and it would be somewhat overwhelming at this time unless we expand JAC as far as the time that we spend in Cheyenne looking at the budget. So I'm fine with getting this information, and we would like to communicate better with them and have a better understanding of the federal side. But I also would like to support the following amendment that would take care of the executive fiscal period accounting. Thank you.
Representative Wallace.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would wholeheartedly endorse this and hope that we would expand it. The obvious next step, it seems to me, would be the Department of A&I, which has a $500 million budget spread all over the place. Nobody who really has JAC does an amazingly good job of overseeing it, but it needs some devoted attention. So please vote aye.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I heard your support for this. I think I just think knowledge is a good thing, and I just think the more that we can learn in our role as a citizen legislators and a citizen legislature, I think it's good. And I don't think there's anything sinister behind the Bringers deal. I think we just kind of want to have a chance to learn a little more. So take a half day at one of our interim meetings and just kind of go through the thing with us. So that committee can kind of be the experts on some of these projects and what's kind of happening. And I think knowledge is a good thing about that. So I'd urge your support. Thank you.
Chairman McComey.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I'm sure that the YDOT would welcome this. They've had their studies when we were sunsetted and came out with glowing reports. They've had a management audit that done well. And I'm here to support this amendment with the language, if we passing the other amendment, as we've talked about, too. I think it's a great idea. I think maybe it's time that, there's been a lot of things said on this floor that have been made available and can be made available. And I just think it's a wonderful thing, and I'm sure YDOT thinks it is, too. On and for the amendment.
Representative Patton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment. However, I would like the body to consider what we are doing, which has been advocated for at least 30-plus years in the other states, and that would be that the Department of Education would go have an oversight by the Education Joint Education Committee, so forth, and there are other major departments that the interim committees and the standing committees never really get a chance to take a look at policy as well as the finances. So this is a good start.
Anyone else for their first time? For a second time, prior to the sponsor, Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I can assure you my motives are pure as the driven snow. I call for the question.
All those in favor of third reading amendment number 10, say aye.
Aye.
As opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 10 is passed. Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. After numerous constructive calls with this transportation, I respectfully withdraw amendment number 3 to House Bill number 1.
Thank you, Representative Blake. Third reading amendment number 3 is withdrawn. Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 24 to House Bill 1 and ask your favorable consideration. As mentioned by the representative from Albany County, the reasons for the change and what it does is removes the last sentence from amendment number 10 to House Bill 1 in that YDOT's budget. You may remember a year ago the Select Committee on Local Government Finance attempted to move all budgets of the state to match those of the state of July 1st to June 30. There were reasons that we had two exemptions, one of them being, I think, the Wyoming Bar Association, the other one being YDOT, in that YDOT's budget currently coincides with that of the Federal Highway Administration from October 1st to September 30. That is why we left that exemption for their budget to be somewhat different than the state's. And what this amendment does is to allow, when that budget is presented to the Joint Highways, Transportation, and Military Affairs Committee, that will be an actual document as approved by the Wyoming Department of Transportation Commission, as opposed to something that's in an interim status or a squishy document. So we would prefer, I think, as a body, to ask for something that is basically set in stone so that we can see what they're going to do for the ensuing year. So I would so move.
Anyone else for their first time or second time? We are voting on third reading amendment number 24 to House Bill 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
As opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 24 is passed. Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 19 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. This is a reintroduction of something we talked about a few days ago. We went back and rethought this, and the phrase that this body likes to use a lot is we gave it a haircut and reduced it down to $85,000. The appropriation is in relation to the Epilepsy Association and their programs that they put forth in the state. I really do believe that this is a necessary organization that provides instruction and education at all levels through the state with a minimal amount of staff They really do stretch out every dollar that they get. And at this point, I stand for questions.
Anyone else for their Representative Harvey?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Wyoming Epilepsy Association has been a group working for several years. They've been supported under the Governor's Planning Council on Developmental Disabilities, but as with all grantees under that program, their time is just about up. We try and support people to get a program that is worthwhile going, and then rely on other methods of financing them later on. This association has done really well in getting together quite a bit of the money needed. This is a small appropriation, and let me tell you a few things that they do. They help with collaboration with doctors, hospitals, state and federal agencies, and they work on creating awareness. And one of the things that they do is these neurologists that are working with the Epilepsy Association are educating and encouraging first-line providers so that they can help their family members that have epilepsy. It's a very little understood disease. It's pretty shocking when it happens to families, and I think that they have done an excellent job in educating individuals and families. I think that this is a program worth carrying on. I'd vote aye on this amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time? Representative Byrd.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just conclude with that these funds are related to the tobacco fund settlement that the state gets, and so I would urge you to consider that and give a positive consideration, and I call for the question.
We're voting on amendment number 19, third reading amendment number 19 to House Bill 1. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The amendment is passed. Division being called. All those in favor, please stand. Third reading amendment number 19 is passed. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment. Is there money in there? There's money in there. That requires a roll call vote. The clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
No.
Bagby.
Aye.
Barbudo.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blake.
Aye.
Licri. Bonner, Frechtel, Brown, Buchanan, Byrd, Kennedy, Carson, Childers, Cohey, Connolly, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Edmonds, Esquivel, Gilmore, Gingery, Goggles, Hales, Hallinan excused, Hammonds, Harshman, Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
no.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Kimball,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
no.
Lubno,
no.
Madden,
no.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller,
no.
Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
no.
Pedersen,
no.
Peterson,
no.
Philp excused, Korberg,
no.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick, Shepperson,
no.
Stewart,
no.
Stubson,
no.
Teeters,
no.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
no.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 31 ayes, 27 noes, 2 excused.
Third reading amendment number 19 is passed. The next amendment for our consideration is third reading amendment 1 to House Bill 1. Representative
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 1. You will see, ladies and gentlemen, that this deletes the Harvey second reading amendment entirely, which added the $4.1 million to the Department of Health health care financing for developmental disabilities. This is not an amendment that I relish bringing at all, and I'd like to tell you why I think it's important that we reconsider this. This program was subject to the 10% cut that was instituted by the executive branch this summer. And the Appropriations Committee recognized the impact to the providers when they added 5% back to the program in the JAC budget, which became our budget. The amendment that we passed on second reading restored the other 5%, so there is essentially no cut. Look back at where we were 8 years ago with regard to this program and how far we have come. We have come a great distance and improved these programs, but still there are significant issues with provider rates and providers being able to stay in business and function effectively. We had a select committee that worked, led to additional funding, but, and you've heard it on this floor, that the study was flawed. The study wasn't completed. Well, we passed an amendment on second reading to complete the study by reconstituting the select committee and carrying that forward. And if you recall that second reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 1, it's pretty specific about what we will study, and it is targeted to those things like whether providers have reduced staffing levels and whether the provider staffing levels are adequate to meet the requirements of the plan, whether the providers have fiscal reserves, the ratio of providers, management, and administrative employees to direct patient care, other factors affecting the provider's fiscal viability. We recognize that some providers out there are on the edge. We also recognize that we don't know what the financial condition is of other providers, and we haven't received the information we've requested. We have the select committee, and I believe this study, and you can read further into that amendment that we passed, will lead to much better information about the status of our providers in the state and where we go from there. I have been one who has supported the developmental disability programs over the years. But under the circumstances of this year's budget session and what the Appropriations Committee did by restoring the 5% and the Select Committee reconstitution and study, we are honoring our obligations, but we're going further than just putting money in without knowing how it will be applied and whether it's really needed and where it's needed. So let's take the step back and bring that 5% back and continue with the select committee, and the next legislature in 2011 will have a study, because that study is due by October 1st of 2010 on the conclusions and recommendations, and the committee will expire at the end of 2010. I believe that it is a proper study. The sponsor of both of these amendments knows these programs better than anybody on this floor. And she has told you about the importance of this study, and we acknowledge that by passing the second reading amendment number 4. But I want to take a step back, move on with that study, and see where it takes us into the next in the next year and the next biennium. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I appreciate bringing the bringer of this amendment, and I stand in support of it. And this is really more complicated than a 5%, 10% issue, and what it boils down to that we found in Appropriations Committee was that what was felt out in our communities with the 10% reduction in this program. And what I'm remembering is that the actual hit, the pain, if you will, was felt somewhere in a realistic range of between this 5 and 10%. And the way we approached this was to bring back the 5% was a reasonable response to what we were hearing out in the trenches, if you will, and that if, of course, we can continue to take a look at this, I see support in all our committees and on the floor here to make adjustments as necessary. But again, in support of this amendment and in support of our careful analysis in JAC of this issue.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I rise and ask you to vote no on this amendment. We made the right decision the other day on Tuesday, and we need to stick with that. Those of you that voted aye, I urge you to vote to stick with that aye vote. And what is really a determining factor to me was hearing the other day that if we do this study, that it's going to say spend this amount plus more. So why would we wait a year to hear what the study is going to say? It's going to say what we already know it's going to say. We need to put the money into the system. This is not like any other agency where you just simply make a 10% cut and suddenly you don't travel or you cut supplies or something. This is the money that goes directly toward paying for a room or a space, a slot, in a group home. So suddenly there's not the room to pay for that, so they can't keep above water, so the group home has to close or reduce the amount of people they're taking in. So you have two different problems. You have potential closures where now you have people out on the streets. And number two, your second problem is people that are leaving the school system who are turning 21 and have to leave the school have nowhere to go. One of my greatest concerns is this is our most vulnerable population. We talk so much down here about what is the role of government. Well, I believe the role of government is to care for those that cannot care for themselves. That's who these people are. They can't pull themselves up by their bootstraps. It's our role to step in and help them. We must help our most vulnerable population. And lastly, I just don't see a need to wait for a study. We know we need to spend the money. Let's put it back in the budget. Let's keep them up fully funded, and let's not see any closures occur.
Representative Patterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would urge support for this, and one of the things that I would say with what we've just heard is I don't think that all studies result in more money. I think that many studies that we do find more intelligent ways of funding with the current funding that we have. How do we better spend the dollars that we have allocated? I don't think that every single study results in, well, that one needs more money and that one needs more money. I think many times we come out with a very intelligent way for this legislative body to go forward with a funding mechanism through the Department of Health that says we will allocate money in this manner in order to better serve these clients. And that's what I'd hope that this body does when it supports this amendment, is knowing that this select committee will work hard in that interim to do better with the people's money. And better fund this, and maybe even find better solutions than the road we've currently gone down.
Representative Harvey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. People, vote your consciences on this. I have to tell you that I believe that this study is really, really important, and I think that that is going to get us the answers. And I agree that not all studies are going to say more money. And if you look at the amendment from yesterday about the select committee, one of the things it's going to talk about or that we're going to study is going to be how are other states handling this population under their budget crises? Are there ways that we can save? But I do know this. In the system that we have today, there is not enough money to supply the direction that we have gone. The things that we have done over the last years, there's not enough money in the system. And I think that it would be unrealistic to believe that the study is not going to come back needing more money. I think that we will. I think that that if you support keeping the money in the budget now, I can't tell you if we're going to be caught up, if we're going to be ahead, if there's going to be money that's not necessary. And I firmly believe that the select committee is the strong way to go. I believe that we will need more money in the system, and the question today is now or later.
Representative Davison.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I agree with my colleague from Teton County. While we're doing a study, which is going to take a while, and we don't know if there's going to be money, the homes are being closed and the people are being put out, and these people are our most vulnerable. These people don't have anywhere to go, and they're being displaced, and that's a very frightening thing for these people. So I would urge you to vote no on this amendment. Thank you.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time before the sponsor? Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is the only program that the Joint Appropriations Committee restored money to, and they restored half of it. Again, look at the second reading amendment number 4 that calls for the study and the elements that are in there, and what I've already pointed out to you, and then the other things about in subparagraph H on page 2, the committee shall identify system changes for improvement in the delivery of services to persons with DD. Well, why? Is there a need for a system delivery improvement? Well, apparently there is. And sponsor necessary legislation implementing committee recommendations. These are our most needy. And my heart goes out to all the parents and all those with developmental disabilities. But this is an issue of how we address what we think the system is doing and how it can be improved, and I would ask that you support the amendment at this time. Thank you.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 1. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
The amendment fails. Division being called, all those in favor, please stand. Those opposed, please stand. Third reading amendment number 1 to House Bill 1 has failed. The next amendment for our consideration is amendment number 18, third reading amendment number 18 to House Bill 1. Chairman Simlick.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move third reading amendment number 18 to House Bill 1. This amendment involves a correction and a clarification with respect to the Livestock Board budget. Footnote number 2, we have $50,000 that's appropriated for costs associated with the management of stray and abandoned animals in the custody of the board. This amendment would just further add that this $50,000 cannot only be used for the care of animals prior to getting them back to the owners in the case of the strays, but it also provide the authority for the board to use this money for the cost of care of animals impounded under the animal cruelty. It doesn't involve any more money. It just clarifies that language to make sure that that can occur. And then the correction would be we would delete department from that. It should be board. I'd ask for your favorable consideration.
Anyone else for their first time? Their second time? We're voting on third reading amendment number 18. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. Third reading amendment 18 is passed. Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I move third reading amendment number 8 to House Bill 1. Ladies and gentlemen, when we were taking testimony on the community college teacher shortage loan program in committee, which is already profiled, gone through the Appropriations Committee, the university told us that they only needed $300,000 and there's $400,000. So we decided we'd help give them that proverbial haircut, and this what this budget amendment does is reduces that program by $100,000.
Anyone else for their first time? Your second time? We're voting on third reading amendment number 8. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Third reading amendment number 8 is passed. Will the Chief Clerk please call the roll?
Anderson, Bagby, Barbudo,
aye.
Berger,
aye.
Blake,
aye.
Flickery,
aye.
Bonner,
aye.
Brechtel,
aye.
Brown,
aye.
Buchanan,
aye.
Byrd,
aye.
Kennedy,
aye.
Carson,
aye.
Childers,
aye.
Cohey,
aye.
Connolly,
aye.
Kraft,
aye.
Davison,
aye.
Dirks,
aye.
Edmonds,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Gilmore,
aye.
Gingery,
aye.
Goggles,
aye.
Hales, Hales, Hallinan excused. Hales excused. Hallinan excused. Hammonds,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Illaway,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jorgensen,
aye.
Kimball,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Lebno,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
McComey,
aye.
Miller, Millen,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Patton,
aye.
Peasley,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Philp excused, Korberg,
aye.
Roscoe,
aye.
Simlick,
aye.
Shepperson,
aye.
Stewart,
aye.
Stevenson,
aye.
Teeters,
aye.
Thompson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Wallace,
aye.
Swanitzer Dan,
aye.
Swanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 ayes, 3 excused.
Third reading amendment number 8 is passed. Representative Barbudo.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move third reading amendment number 27 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. And I think I had the opportunity yesterday to talk to just about all of you about this bill, so this amendment, excuse me, so I don't think it should come to much of a surprise. The purpose here is that in the spending policy reserve account, there's a spillover of around a little over $26 million. Of that, joint appropriations gave $20 million to cities and counties, leaving $6 million there on the table. So the proposal in this amendment is to take that $6 million left over and give it to the SLIB grant board. And I think we all have a pretty good idea what the SLIB grant board does. They're at $35 million now. This would bring their total up to around $41 million. This would all be grant money. None of this is going towards administration. $6 million, it doesn't sound like a whole lot of money at first hearing, but could be the difference between quite a few projects being done or rejected when it comes to that point. And with the absence of the consensus revenue block grant, this is going to be the funding source for a lot of projects around our state. And with that, I would stand for any questions.
Chairman Semlick.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of this amendment. I've thought about proposing something like this. I've kind of struggled with this issue of the declining revenues that we have to share with local governments from $457 million down to $180 million. So many of us had met with local government officials prior to coming to the session, one of the things I told them is that I'm not here to tell you how to do your budgets, and then I proceeded to start telling them how to do their budgets. And one of the things that we talked about was the revenue sharing that the state does with local governments, consider that to be soft money. We just never real sure how long that money is going to be around. And, in fact, what we all believe could happen did happen. So there was a dramatic decline in the amount of money that we would have available to share with local governments in this proposed budget. So we've had some proposals out there through JC markups and some other recommendations to increase the funding for direct appropriations by $10 million or whatever. And I just got to thinking that out of 99 cities and towns and 23 counties, I mean, $10 million is a lot of money for some people, but for that many entities to share for direct appropriations, I didn't think would be significantly impact them favorably as much as some consideration about putting some additional money in the mineral royalty grants. And here's my reasoning. If we've got $34 million in there now, and what you don't see in there this year that we've had in past budgets is a fund of about $4 or $5 million for emergency funding, that's not in this budget. So I just submit that if we was to increase the amount of money in the mineral royalty grants, as we looked, when we tried to encourage local governments not to use the appropriations for the last two bienniums for ongoing expenses and to encourage them to put them into capital, one-time capital construction projects. And in doing that, some of these, a lot of local communities likely had some of these projects going. What I don't want to see happen here with respect to a decline in revenue to local governments is that we have some projects going that they might not get completed. They would have an opportunity perhaps to go back to the mineral royalty grant to finish up some of these projects. So that was my purpose for supporting this amendment, is just to provide a safety net, if you will, for the big bounce that we had in the decline in revenues for local government. So it's not, maybe a great solution in the whole picture of declining funding, but if we're going to target some additional funding, I just thought it would be appropriate perhaps to do it in this mineral royalty. So, we're going to have a lot of discussion about local government funding. This is one proposal out there, and I guess I kind of like it and rise in support of it.
Chairman Landon. Excuse me. Thank you. Chairman Landon.
Mr. Speaker, I can certainly understand that the attraction of this amendment as directing the monies in the direction that it proposes. We have no end of good ways that we could spend money here. But I think that we have to look at the other side of the equation, because this is a zero-sum game here. And when we send the monies over into this, what's proposed here is what do we take away from? And what do we take away from is a policy statement made by this legislature and previous legislatures that we are going to try to build, with some of the mineral severance monies, a permanent fund for the state of Wyoming that will kick out interest and revenue for this generation and generations to come. And so by diverting it from that, is then we just, it's sort of like building a road. We've created this asset, and unless we continue to maintain it, it'll just get potholes in it, and it won't have the buying power that it had the year before. And so you have to go slower every year. So I would urge the body to resist the amendment, to stick with the policy that we've had in place and the reason for the reserve account, and move forward from there.
Representative Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, on and against this amendment. Ladies and gentlemen, we've all heard loud and clear the message from our local governments that the need is real. But I would hold that, the discussion here is not about the need. It's about where we take this money from. I was definitely intrigued by the the intent or by the way we were trying to get some more money to our local governments, and it sure did make me pause. But I had to go back to my philosophical beliefs and some of the decisions I made coming into this session about whether or not we were going to tap into any more savings. And with that said, it actually came to be an easy decision for me, that philosophically, and I think most of you, I don't know if any one of you will change your mind through this debate. I think a lot of you came here this session with a knowledge whether or not you would tap into savings or not, or for what it would go to. Just remember that we're going to be back in 6 months after this budget takes hold. We will continue to augment this component of the revenue that goes to capital construction to our local governments when we have dollars available, when we have surplus dollars. And we've done that in the past, and I'm sure we will continue to meet those needs with what we call surplus dollars. And again, on and against this, and remember about maintaining a certain level of savings for needs into the future. And we'll have a better look at this in 6 months after this budget takes effect, or basically a year from now. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Pedersen.
Mr. Chairman, it is hesitancy I stand up, but I do rise against the amendment after speaking with the good bringer of it. I yesterday at first blush I thought that this might be an okay deal, and I mulled around and I mulled around and I mulled around until 5. I decided I didn't want to sign, and then I mulled about it all night until this morning, and I started really thinking about this. And you know, when we came out of appropriations, this is where we decided to be at. And it wasn't like we didn't think about should we be putting more money in this and should we be helping some of these places. What happened is when I think about larger numbers, the even larger numbers cross my mind. And those even larger numbers, I would remind you of what they are. And that is that we have about $106 million of ARRA funds that we're going to have to replace. Coming up in the next biennium, we're going to have higher levels of people enrolled in Medicaid because we're countercyclical. We have an 18-month delay on our assessed valuations, so we'll be having to supplement our school foundation account even more. We're probably going to have we'll have recalibration. Never gone down; it might go up. I don't know. But you've got a lot of issues there, and you can burn through a lot of money fast. And so, if you don't start saying that. We create these savings issues. And, you know, you think about a simple rule of 72. You know, we take this money and we invest it like we had planned to. You know, 10 years, 7%, we have twice as much. And that's really what we're looking at. If you're confident enough in your own assets to just start spending through them right now and not be saving on a personal level, then this is okay. But if you're not confident in the economy and you think that there's a need to invest and a need to save for things in the future, then maybe you don't support this. But those are some thoughts and why I think that we put forward our structured saving and why that $6 million should tip in.
Chairman McComey.
Well, thank you, Madam Chairman. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I've sometimes been in these budget sessions, and early when I first came on, when we didn't have any money, and I just felt like Chicken Little, you know, everybody's running around, the sky is falling, we're not going to have any revenue, we're not going to have this. But the good gentleman from the Mother County over there, haven't heard that, that's Carbon. They were big at one time. He hit it right on the head. We'll be back. And if the sky hasn't fallen, then we can do some of these things. So I look at some of these budget amendments and I think to myself, Why are we doing this now? Because if we do this now and the sky has just held its own or whatever, that's money we won't have then to put into these funds. Because we won't be able to. So let's really be careful what we do here. We come back and we can reappropriate if these are here. And this says, if this fund runs out, this is a biennium budget. If this fund runs out and we think we need some more money in there, we'll have an opportunity next session on and against the amendment.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. On and against the proposed amendment, I also was approached on this. But as I was listening to the representative from the mother county, I reflected on what I did before I came down here. And in public venues and one-on-one, when people ask me, well, can you get some more money for this or this, and I said, I am so uncertain about the future, and I think our responsibility is to the Wyoming citizens and the communities, and the cities, towns, and counties in the long run. It isn't to try to make another patch on a problem that I don't see a clear answer to yet, because it could get worse. And the monies that we take from some of these reserve accounts and start using like we did recently, I think is a mistake. So I urge your no vote on this proposed amendment.
Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. On and against the amendment, I am all for local government spending. I think our local governments are the closest to the people, the cities, towns, and counties. They're doing the investments. These are great programs. But consider this. Look at page 33 of your budget bill, which is where this amendment goes to. Page 33, line 23, mineral royalty grants, $33,400,000. Special revenue, that's severance tax. There's nothing in this budget that says that money can't all be spent in 1 year. And that has happened before, where we've come back in different programs and they said, oh boy, we spent all the money in the first year, and you didn't tell us we couldn't spend it in 1 year. Some of those programs now we have, you have to spend half in 1 year and half in the next. But I don't see that in this one. And if I'm incorrect, please correct me. But we will be back here. And I wanted to point out one thing to you on the goldenrod on page 5. Yeah, this is the spending policy reserve account again. And I think there's some confusion about how much money is in the account. Page 5 of the goldenrod. The Permanent Wyoming Mineral Trust Fund Spending Policy Reserve Account. Under the 0910 JAC Rec, we start with $102 million. We receive into that the $54,750,000 from last year's budget amendment of half of 1% of the severance taxes. Now, that went in, or that will go in at the end of 2010, because severance taxes, I've confused the issue, but $54,750,000 for a total of $156, almost $157 million. Then look below there. Appropriations, $26,548,000, automatic appropriation. That was under the bill, last year's budget. But under this year's budget, the governor's recommendation was to suspend the automatic transfer. That's why it's a positive. Those two net out. Nothing happens. The money stays in the account. So when you look at the 11-12 house status, you have $156 million minus 20. You have $136 million in the account. It has nothing to do with $26 million here or there. That number is a fiction. You've got $54,750,000 that went in, less 20. So there's $34,750,000 in the account. Just to clarify for you, to help you track that. It still doesn't justify us, you know, saying you need another $6 million onto this line item in addition to the $33,400,000, when there's enough flexibility there to spend it and we can come back and address it. Thank you.
Representative Throne.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Just to clarify, the good speakers comments. $26 million was going to spill into the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund. The Appropriations Committee stopped that. It's my understanding $20 million goes to local governments. All this amendment does is give $6 million to the SLIB board for local governments in a different way. So it's still part of the same $26 million that would have spilled over, leaving whatever 54 minus 26 is in the spending policy reserve account from our mineral severance tax diversion last year, plus the 102 that was already there. So it's real money. It's not a fiction. It's money that would have gone into the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund, and this is just another $6 million of that $26 million in support of the amendment. Excuse me.
Representative Bagby.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Sometimes it rains, even in the mother county. It's raining now, and I need an umbrella. On and for the amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? I would just like to clarify the goldenrod here. You see in the 09-10 JAC rec, the Representative Throne was correct in that that money would have spilled, but it will not spill under the current budget, but it's not carried over. The only money that's profiled in the 11-12 House or Senate status is the $102 million beginning balance plus the half a percent that went in. So there's a distinction there. Anyone else for their second time? Or anyone else for their first time? Okay. Anyone else for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Barbuda.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I guess I'm still a little confused on this question of whether or not this money is fictional. And I know my good colleague from Cheyenne had some things to say about that. If it is fictional, I guess do we need to let the counties and towns know? I think they're going to be pretty disappointed otherwise. But, you know, we can decide that later. This question of a policy statement by the legislature, I guess when I go home and talk to my constituents, I want to say the policy statement we made at the session this year in Cheyenne was that we were going to do what we could to keep towns and counties going, to keep people working and to keep jobs happening in the name of progress and economic development in our state. I understand and appreciate fiscal conservatism, but I don't think this is a confrontation of that at all. We can wait for better times, but, you know, with the people who are applying for these SLIB grants, they don't have time to wait. There are some definite and immediate health and human safety needs. We can say that, yeah, we're going to only be on this budget for 6 months before we meet again, but a whole heck of a lot does happen in 6 months. We see a lot of things all around the state deteriorating a lot faster than that. So, sure, we can come back and talk about this again in 6 months, but I just don't know what the state of a lot of these situations is going to be by then. This idea that the SLIB board is just going to burn through this money, I don't think anybody can accuse the SLIB board of burning through money. They have the option of rejecting any grant that comes through, and they often do. I think that probably all our communities can attest to that. So I guess in the name of development, youth, health, and safety, I'd ask that you vote aye today on this amendment. Thanks.
We're voting on, excuse me. We are voting on third reading amendment number 27. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Third reading amendment number 27 has failed. Division being called. All those in favor, please stand. All those opposed, please stand. The amendment has failed. Madam Majority Whip, please tell them to go ahead. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to recess for lunch and go out of third reading, but we need to read in some bills here, or at least reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 4, Education, to whom was referred Senate File 39, engrossed, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with following amendments. Ayes, Connolly, Kraft, Dirks, Yeagy, McKim, McComey. No, Brechtel, Lubnow, Teeters. Signed, Representative McComey, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom is referred Senate File 7, engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation to do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Blake, Carson, Edmonds, Moniz, Semlek, Teeters, Wallace, Wanitzer, Dan. No, Gilmore. Signed, Representative Semlek, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 5, Agriculture, State, and Public Lands and Water Resources, to whom is referred Senate File 13, engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Blake, Edmonds, Moniz, Semlek, Teeters, Wallace, Wanitzer, Dan. No, Carson, Gilmore. Signed, Representative Semlek, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred Senate File 161, engrossed, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Bonner, Davison, Escobel, Harvey, Kimball, Landon, Millen, Shepperson, excused, Hallinan. Signed, Representative Landon, Chairman.
Three referrals. Chairman Semlek.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was a little too anxious this morning to get those bills down to appropriations, so at this point I would like to re-refer Senate File 7 and Senate File 13 to Committee Number 2 as they have an appropriation. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Chairman Landon.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to re-refer Senate File 61 engrossed to Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, was a little premature this morning. I'd like to re-refer Senate File 39 engrossed to your Committee Number 2, Appropriations.
Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Any other re-referrals? Committee announcements. Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Committee Number 9 has a revised schedule, and it's just a timing issue. We'll meet at 7:30 on room H18 for the same three Senate files we discussed yesterday, 66, 59, and 52. However, we will be doing initial conversations on interim topics before we quit.
Vice Chairman Brown.
Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 7, Corporations, will meet right now to consider Senate File 67, Pharmacy Benefits Management.
Chairman Cohey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Committee Number 8, Highways, Transportation, and Military Affairs, will meet tonight upon adjournment, February 25th, in room 302 to discuss Senate File 22, State Active Duty Medical Expense Reimbursement, Senate File 64, Safety Belt Violations 2, Senate File 45, School Bus Seat Belts, and Senate File 35, Tolling Authority for I-80.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If I could get the attention of some of the floor, how your Committee Number 4, Education, will meet tomorrow at noon to discuss interim topics in room H10.
Chairman Gingrey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your Committee Number 1, Judiciary, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in room H8 to hear Senate File 25, Liens, and Senate File 14, Circuit Court Hearings of Municipal Violations by juveniles.
Chairman Landon.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 210 will also meet tomorrow at noon to discuss interim topics across the hall from the Education Committee.
Chairman Berger.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee number 2 will meet in room 204 at 1 p.m. The first bill that we will hear is re-referred Senate File 61, Health Insurance Reform 2. Then Senate File 7, Rangeland Health Assessments. Post-secondary education, Senate File 39, Senate File 13, economic analysis, and I know there's another bill, can't remember the number, 5, Senate File 5.
Excuse me, what is the number?
I can't see. Chairman?
I believe it's 41, Mr. Chairman, midwife bill.
Okay, there we go, 41, Senate File 41. And I think what we'll do, since we obviously can't get through all these re-referred bills, we will meet upon adjournment today in room 204 to finish them.
Chairman Semlich.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Committee number 5, Agriculture, Public Lands, and Water Resources, will meet with the Light Committee from the Senate tomorrow at upon noon adjournment to discuss interim topics. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Lockhart, you may have privilege of the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the balcony behind you is one of the nicer couples from Casper, the Rosaleses. He's also a dentist and represents the Dental Association nationally. Let's give him a hand.
Welcome to the House of Representatives. Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Revenue will meet tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock in H-11 to discuss interim topics. Tomorrow morning.
Thank you.
At 9 o'clock after the governor's prayer breakfast.
Any other announcements? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House recess until 1:30 p.m.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, no. The House is recessed until 1:30 p.m.